Welcome to Simple Acts, Big Impact. I'm Natalie Silverstein. Each week, I'll introduce you to young people who are making a difference in their communities through nonprofits, social entrepreneurship, volunteerism, and activism. I hope you'll be inspired by these conversations, which prove that every person, no matter their age, can help to create a kinder world. We've said it before on the podcast, but it bears repeating. Having access to books, literally just having a book of your own, is a powerful thing. Reading opens doors and provides opportunities. And for young people in the hospital, research shows that books can boost positive emotions and oxytocin levels while lowering stress hormones. My guests today, Sanvi and Sumedha from the Chicago area, understood the many benefits of reading and launched the Bookmark Project, a book collection and distribution effort to empower young people and to spread literacy in their own community and around the world in places like Africa and India. They have collected over 41,000 books and counting. The Bookmark Project is a youth-driven literacy initiative focused on building community and increasing access to books across the globe. Welcome back, everyone. I'm super excited to introduce you to my two new friends here today. I have Sanvi and Sumedha, and they started something called the Bookmark Project, and I'm so excited to hear about it. How are you girls? Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having us. We are great.
I'm so delighted to meet you. Okay, so why don't we start with some introductions. Sanvi, why don't you start? Tell us how old you are, where you go to school, what grade you're in, and all that good stuff. Kick it over to Sumedha, and then we'll start about talking about the project.
Yeah, my name is Sanvi, and I am a senior in high school. We are from the Chicagoland area, and I go to William Frempe High School.
Amazing. How about you, Sumedha?
Yeah, we actually go to the same school, William Frempe High School. We're both from the Chicagoland area, and together we started the Bookmark Project.
Amazing. Okay, so tell me all about that. How did it get started? What's it all about?
Definitely. So we started this project during the COVID-19 pandemic, and like many students, we suddenly had time and kind of like the desire to do something useful. And reading had always been foundational in our lives. And we were aware that many children during this time were in hospitals. And so we began simply by collecting books from our own shelves and donated them to a local hospital. And that first initial donation was pretty small, but seeing how much books and how much stories could offer distraction and comfort to these hospitalized children made the impact feel real.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. So Sanvi, tell me a little bit more. So you started with your own shelves, which I know is, I'm sure you had plenty of books of your own to donate. But then did you start with book drives, and how did you organize those? Where do you collect the books from? Do you take monetary donations and buy books? Like, how does that part work?
Yeah, so we started reaching out within our community to family, friends, neighbors, and as we started getting more donations from people in our locality, we decided to start reaching out to more organizations such as schools, libraries, and bookstores. Many of them actually started providing smaller donations to us, which helped us build up. And from there, we did a couple book drives, but many of our donations are because of our wonderful community. Yeah, and we do take monetary donations, but we only use them at the moment for our international donations. We utilize them in countries like India, Uganda, Tanzania, to be able to source local books from there so that we are contributing to under-resourced areas and schools in rural villages.
Wow, I did not appreciate that this was such an international project. So you started small in the Chicagoland area, so you were donating to local hospitals or whatever. How did the expansion internationally happen?
Yeah, so we started off by partnering with local Illinois organizations, and our first one was Uganda. And so we partnered with a local organization, and we together provided 18,000 books to 200 plus schools in Uganda.
Wow, that's a lot of books. So let me understand that a little bit more. You partnered with a local organization in Chicago that was also collecting books. So that's how you got to that number of books. That's so many.
Yeah, so they take books from some of their partnerships with schools and other organizations, and they're able to provide the shipping. So we were able to ship them for free on our part, and they deliver them to schools across Uganda in different school districts. So that was our first donation from within the Chicagoland area to internationally. But recently we have developed some partnerships with local nonprofits in India and Indian villages who we work with to source local books for children. Then we provide monetary donations and they're able to contribute the books.
Amazing. And Samantha, how do you get those monetary donations? Do you do any events? How is that happening?
Yeah, so we have done multiple fundraising events. For example, we do booths at different, like, larger events where we've sold water bottles, and with the money that we get from that, we include that to our monetary donations. Additionally, we also have a GoFundMe that makes it easier for people to help out and donate online. So that's been our two biggest.
Wow. So do you have a sense? I mean, that one project having 18,000 books is very significant. Do you have a sense of your total impact so far? How many books you've donated?
Yeah, we, from just our organization, we have collected and distributed over 40,000 books, both locally and internationally.
Wow, that is really, really wonderful and so impressive. I mean, look at the impact of that. You know, it's really, really incredible. So can you tell me if there's been any challenges that you've faced in this work? You know, one of the things I've often interviewed young people who do different donation drives, particularly if it's something in the local community. And I've always said, like, where do you store all of this, right? You know, if you're collecting socks or books or whatever it is, or toiletry items, you know, you start to take over your parents' garages and that doesn't go over so well. So have there been any challenges that you faced in this work?
Yeah, actually, I'm glad you said that, because actually in the beginning, we handled everything kind of ourselves. And how you mentioned the storing books in our parents' garages, that actually did happen. And so we stored all of our books in our garages and in our basements. And we realized that if we really wanted this to last and be sustainable with structure, that we needed a consistent storage space. And so that was one of our initial challenges.
So you have a storage space now, you rent something. That costs money too. That's an expensive proposition as well. You know, are you thinking about partnering with any, like, kind of larger organizations? I mean, you're so grassroots. I wonder if there's a foundation that would give you a grant, or maybe like a company, you know, a publisher, you know, someone who is in the book space and is like, well, these young ladies are doing good in the world. We'll give them a nice big grant. Has there been anything like that?
Yeah. So on the note of like renting, we actually have a partnership with a local building. They run a lot of community events and other such things. So they were generous enough to give us their space for free for our storage and a lot of our book packing events. But we have been, as we've like grown, we are starting to work more like with outreach and reaching out to companies and things. And we currently have a partnership with Scholastic that we're building.
That was going to be my next suggestion, right? Like, all of these companies, they have books that are slightly damaged, right? That they want to get rid of. They have the financial resources to donate to an organization like yours. Like, they're just trying to do good in the world, right? As they're also trying to make money, right? You want someone with a good mission. So how do you see this growing? You're going to graduate soon. You're going to go off to college. Do you have other volunteers in your community that'll kind of keep the work going?
Yeah, actually, right now we are in the process of building our Illinois Leadership Board. For now, we've had a lot of volunteers, a lot of consistent volunteers, and so we are giving them the opportunity to take that next step into a leadership position. And since Sanvi and I, we are going to college, we still want to be a part of the Bookmark Project, but since to manage all the in-person logistical operations, we won't be here. So we want this Illinois leadership team to handle all of the in-person logistics.
No, that's the best way. Do you have a sense of how many volunteers you've engaged with? I would assume you have a lot of young people. You mentioned book packing events and stuff like that.
Yeah, we have about 60 consistent volunteers who help us different ways, whether that's distribution of books or book packing events. And then As of now, our leadership board has about 9 people that we are working with for the Illinois.
That's amazing. That's amazing. You know, this is kind of, you know, when we talk about literacy, there are a lot of statistics and there's a lot of research that shows that the idea of reading to children is while it's so important, we've all been, all those of us who are parents have been drummed into us that we have to sit and read with children. But in fact, the most important thing is just having a book in the home, right? And so many homes, and certainly this is true probably internationally, as well in under-resourced areas, if they don't have any books in the home, the child has absolutely no set frame of reference. It's not even about being read to. It's just the plain fact of having a book. And so I just want to commend you because really you're putting the resource into the hands of the people who need it. And I just think it's such wonderful work. Can you tell us a little bit more about where someone could donate to you all? Maybe start their own chapter, learn more. Do you have social media, a website, all that good stuff?
Yeah, so we have our website. It's www.mybookmark.org. And there we have our contact info. We have our email. And we encourage people to email us directly to learn more about volunteering, starting a chapter, partnering. We have a lot of different ways that people can get involved. And we're always open to new ideas or collaborations.
Amazing. And Savi, do you have a social media handle that I can share?
Yes, we have an Instagram called TBP_IL.
TBP_IL. Okay, I will put that in the show notes to make sure that everybody can follow and learn more. Well, ladies, thank you so much for sharing this with me. I'm wishing you the best of luck in all things. I don't think you're going to need it. I know you're going to do amazing in college and beyond. Thank you for sharing this story with us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for listening. If you are inspired by what you heard today and would like to support the creation of this podcast and the work of the changemaker I featured, please visit my website, simpleactsguide.com/podcast, to make a donation. And please follow, rate, and review the podcast to help us spread these positive messages.